And this is all part of a plan. It's very yucky, but you know, you have to understand what's going on over here. They took his clothes and they wrapped it up and they put it into a bag. And of course the clothes were all bloody, because when they cut the throat, we all understand what happens. And they wrapped him up, they put him into a like a white bag, and now they bring him to Prague. And nobody knew, it's the middle of the night. They brought him to the Jewish Beis HaKfaris, to the Jewish cemetery. They got shovels. They put him now, not in the cemetery, but on the outside by the wall. Now they had a whole plan here. And they started digging a grave on the outside of the Jewish cemetery, on the outside of the Yiddish Beis HaKfaris, by the wall, like where you go in, but it's on the outside by the road. They start digging a grave in the middle of the night. And Kozlik is lying there, of course, wrapped up. Now, they did not put him in the grave, but they're waiting now by the grave. They're waiting for a wagon of Goyim to come. Now, near the Beis HaKfaris of the Jews, there was a village. And there were Goyim that lived in that village. Now, the two brothers are waiting for a wagon of Goyim from that village to come by. And they wait for a while. All of a sudden, they hear a wagon coming. And they see in the moonlight that there's Goyim in the wagon. And they know that these Goyim live in the next town. All of a sudden, they start talking very loud in Yiddish. Now, as I told you, even the Goyim who worked in the factory of Rabbi Aaron Gin spoke Yiddish. They spoke perfect Yiddish. And they started now speaking Yiddish very loud. They also had hats on. So if you looked at them, especially in the night, you wouldn't be able to tell if they're Jews or Goyim. And especially if they talk Yiddish, you assume they're Jews. And they start speaking very loud in Yiddish on purpose. All of a sudden, the wagon pulls by, and the wagon stops, and it sees in the middle of the night, there's two Jews, because they're speaking Yiddish, they could tell it's Yiddish, and they're burying somebody in the middle of the night outside of the cemetery. And the Goyim are wondering, what's going on over here? Now, this is exactly what the brothers wanted to happen, that the Goyim should stop and ask, what's going on over here? And they say, excuse me, what's going on over here that you're doing this in the middle of the night? We never saw such a thing. We thought that Jews bury a person inside of this place and in the daytime. We never saw this happening at night. And the two brothers answer, also in Yiddish. Now, Yiddish maybe was close enough to the language of these Goyim they should somehow talk, or maybe they pretended they only speak Yiddish and they spoke some of the Goyish language also, but they want the Goyim to get the idea that they're Jews. And they said, don't you know what we're doing? Well, we'll tell you what we're doing. A regular Jew, he's buried inside of our Beis HaKfaris in the daytime. That's a regular Jew. But over here is no regular Jew. This is a wild troublemaker. He's such a wild troublemaker that these Jews, they don't want him to be buried. He's such a wild troublemaker that we Jews don't want him buried together with all the regular Jews. The rabbi, you know the rabbi of Prague? You know who that is, the rabbi? You know the Maharal, the rabbi Maharal? Did you ever hear of him? Yeah, we heard of him. Now, he said, this one should be buried outside of the Beis HaKfaris. He should be buried on the outside. He's no good. He's a wild troublemaker. In fact, we happen to know a secret, but we're not going to tell you, because who are you anyway? We shouldn't tell you this. The Goyim say, why don't you tell us? After all, we're curious to find out what's going on. We can't really tell you this secret. You might as well go on. Just get going. And, you know, forget about what you see over here. This is private things. This is things we don't want anybody to see. That's why we do it in the middle of the night. You better get going. No, we thought maybe to tell you this secret. But who are you anyway? Just go. No, tell us. Okay, we'll tell you. This dead person is by Jews called a kapara. This dead person, we don't even know if he's a Jew or not. All the rabbi said is, this is a kapara. But we can't tell you what that is. All we can tell you is, this is a kapara. But we're not going to tell you what it is, because we told you too much already. This dead person is by us Jews called a kapara. And that's why we're putting him in the ground on the outside. We don't even think he's a Jew. The rabbi just said, get rid of him as fast as possible and make sure nobody sees. Unfortunately, you happen to be driving by in the middle of the night and you see what's going on here. So forget about it. Just forget about it. And the goyim kinalach went back in their wagon and they start to go. Now this is exactly the plan of the two brothers. They wanted people to see. They wanted them to get the idea that there's some kind of a thing called a kapara over here. Now, this is a plan that's going to be going on, as you see. And the goyim left. And the two brothers, Carl and Henry Koslovsky, now have one more part that they have to do tonight. They take the bag with the bloody clothes from Kozlik. They go into Prague. And they go into Rab Aaron Ginz's yard. And everybody was sleeping. And they broke into his basement. And they hid the bag with the clothes of Kozlik in the basement. And they went away. They went back to where they live. You can already figure out they're starting now an Alilas Dom. Because this is now after Purim, close to Pesach. The next day, Carl and Henry Kozlovsky, Carl and Henrich, they go to work at the factory where they make the things from the animal skins, or they make the animal skins. And people go to work like usual, and people notice, where's Kozlik today? Oh, we don't know. We haven't seen Kozlik for a while. We thought he'd come to work today. We don't know where he is or why he's not here. Oh, we thought maybe, you know, if you knew. No, we don't know. Well, they go and they work, you know, and then the whistle blows around 12 o'clock or so. Lunchtime. All the workers now get ready for lunchtime. They take out their sandwiches and their bologna sandwiches and their pickles and their onions and their garlic and whatever they eat. And they sit around, you know, they talk by the lunch and they eat. And, you know, they're talking. And again, the subject comes up. Where do you think Kozlik is? Oh, I don't know, you know. The last we knew, it was that Jewish holiday. What's it called? Purim? Yeah. No, Purim. Was it Purim or Purim? I don't know. Sometimes they call it Purim, sometimes Purim. Well, one of those, it's a Jewish holiday. The last we knew that Kozlik went to Reb Aaron Ginz's house to help over there. That's the last we saw him. Some of the workers say, well, it's funny that he didn't come to work. Well, you know, maybe we'll find something out. Then Aaron and then Henry and Carl say, you know, it's interesting what we heard yesterday evening. We were walking in the street, you know, going home. We heard some people talking very loud from a wagon. And a lot of people were gathered around them. And it seemed like something was going on. So we went over there to listen. And we heard a very strange thing. You want to hear? And of course the workers say, yeah, yeah, yeah. What'd you hear? We're very curious. Well, they go on eating their pickles and their garlic and their onions and their bologna sandwiches and their salami and their sausages and all this stuff what they ate. And Carl and Henry say, you know, there was a wagon from the next town, of villagers from the next village. And they saw something happen a few nights ago. Very strange thing. You want to hear? Yeah. Well, in the middle of the night, they were in front of the Jewish cemetery. You know where they bury Jews? You know over there? Yeah, we know. On the way to the village on the road, yeah. Well, they were making a funeral in the middle of the night on the outside of the wall. Did you ever hear such a thing? No, we never saw that such a thing. We never heard of such a thing. And the villagers said that they stopped because they never saw what is going on. And the two Jews who were digging the grave, well, they said they couldn't understand that well because they were speaking Yiddish, but they could understand good enough because they started speaking a little bit other language, that there's some kind of a kapara, they said. Somebody the Jews don't allow in their own graveyard, some kind of a wild kid, they said. And they're burying him in the middle of the night because the rabbi said, don't let anybody see this funeral. Don't let him in the Jewish cemetery. And don't let anybody even know anything. But this is a kapara, like somebody just to get rid of. Some kind of a wild kid that the Jews didn't like. Now, what's going on over here? All of a sudden, one of the workers says, wait a minute. Wasn't Kozlik a wild kid? And doesn't Aaron Ginz not like him? Carl and Henry say, oh, you wouldn't, oh, that's terrible. Don't think that there's any connection between our brother Kozlik. No, couldn't be. But what you're saying is right. Aaron Ginz doesn't like our brother. Isn't this very strange that there was such a funeral in the middle of the night? And everybody says, yeah, that's very strange, yeah. What else is new? Well, okay, they talk about what else is new, and they go and they finish their lunches, and they go back to work, and they work till the end of the day, and on the way home, people say to Carl and Henry, why don't you go check where your brother Kozlik is? We're kind of worried about him, especially after that story you told us. And Carl and Henry say, what do you mean worried because of the story we told you? Well, you know about that wild kid who was buried on the outside of the wall. Carl and Henry say, what do you mean? You mean you think there's some kind of a connection between that strange funeral of that wild kid and being a kapara and everything and Kozlik? And they say, yeah, well, no, couldn't be. You know what? We're going to right now go to Kozlik's place where he lives. And we're going to probably find him there. Maybe he doesn't feel well. You know, since his accident in the factory, since he fell from Aaron Ginz's factory and hurt himself, he doesn't feel good, you know. We'll go check on him. Probably he didn't feel good today. And Kenela, Carl and Henry, they go home now. And of course, they see their plan is beginning to work. Because they're getting in the minds of the people at work a certain thing in their minds. And the work and the plan is working now slowly. They're getting ready for the next part of the plan. The next part of the plan is the next day in the factory of Rabbi Aaron Ginz. And again, it's lunchtime, and the workers sit around taking out their sausages and garlic and pickles and onions and whatever they're eating over there. And they say to Carl and Henry, Carl and Henry, you know, we're all concerned about Kozlik. He didn't come again to work today. And we didn't have a chance to talk it over because we're so busy working. And now it's lunchtime. Tell us something. Did you go and see Kozlik? How is he? And Ara and Henry and Carl say, very strange thing. We're getting very, very worried because we went to Kozlik's room and he wasn't there. And we got so worried because, of course, of what you said yesterday, because you reminded us of the story of that strange Jewish funeral and outside of the wall that they buried some wild kid, and you seemed to think there might be some connection between our brother Kozlik and that wild boy who was buried in the middle of the night that the Jews said is a kapara. Well, we got very scared, so we went all the way to our mother's house that we thought maybe our mother saw him, and we hadn't seen our mother for a while. And we didn't want to scare our mother or anything because she's very old and very poor. And we just happened to say, "Mommy, did you see our brother?" Now, of course, they never told anybody his name, so they called him Kozlik, but you know. They just said, "Mother, did you see our brother?" They didn't want to worry her or anything. She says, "Well, no, I haven't seen him for quite a while." Which means he wasn't home either. Now, Kinalach, is this the truth or is this a big, fat lie? This is a big fat lie, and it's a part of their plan. And one of the workers said, "But wait a minute. If Kozlik was not in his room, and he wasn't at your house, and you haven't seen him since that Jewish holiday, Purim, or Pidim, whatever the Jews call it, then where is Kozlik? And now we're really worried because of that strange thing that you saw." And the brothers, Carl and Henry, said, "We're also very worried now." And another worker said, wait a minute. It's all coming clear. Aaron Ginz accused your brother of stealing. Right?" And Carl and Henry says, "Yeah, he didn't do it. He didn't steal, that's for sure. He wouldn't do that." "So where is he then, if he didn't steal? If he would have stolen, maybe he would have run away. If he would have stolen, he would be hiding in his house, yeah? If your brother Kozlik would have stolen, like Aaron Ginz accused them of, wouldn't he be hiding, like, in his house, or maybe by your mother's house?" And the two brothers said, "Yeah, but he wasn't hiding there. He wasn't there at all. He's disappeared." And one of the workers says, "Wait a minute, don't you see? Don't you see the connection between that strange funeral and what's going on? Aaron Ginz accused your brother of stealing all of that silver, and it looks like he ran away with the money, right?" "Right. Well, there could be a different way it happened." Now, Carl and Henry, this plan is working because everybody's thinking what could have happened. Carl and Henry say, "Workers, something just came into our head. What's the time of the year? What's the time of the year? Well, it's getting to be springtime." "Yeah, but the Jewish time of the year, there's another Jewish holiday coming soon. You know what it's called?" They call it Pesach. Passover. Sometimes they say Pesach, but we can't say that, so we say Pesach. Passover. "Didn't we hear a long time ago, and they wanted to tell us that it really doesn't happen, it's not true, but we're not sure about that, that the Jews make matzahs and they have three things in the matzahs?" No, they say two things, flour and water." No, I heard three things, flour, water, and blood. They catch a Christian and they get his blood. That's what they told us. Then for a while they said, "No, it's not true. They get a kapara." "Oh, wait a minute. That's the same word that I heard, a kapara," one of the workers said. "Didn't you say that the Jews said when they were burying that wild boy, he's a kapara?" And Carl and Henry say, "Oh, that is the word, isn't it? Wait, what did you say a kapara is again?" And one of the workers says, "I heard stories a long time ago that the Jews catch a Christian. They take his blood and they put it in the matzahs for Passover. And Carl and Henry say, "Wait a minute, it's almost Passover. It's that time of year that they might do such a thing. And our brother Kozlik is gone. Oh no, what could this mean?" And another worker says, "Hey, I have it all figured out. Listen to me, come over here." And they start coming close to him. Oh, but it was very difficult because he was the one that was eating the garlic and boy did it smell. But they came close anyway. And he says to them, "Aaron Ginz didn't like your brother. After all, he wanted to pay him only half the money, right? And he didn't want to let him go and pay him money to go, so he had him stay and he has him work well, and it's his fault that he fell into the animal skins, right, and hurt himself." And everybody says, yeah, that's right. And they say, "Carl and Henry, the last time you saw your brother was before he went to Reb Aaron Ginz's house for Purim. Is that right?
Yeah. So this is probably what happened.
Aaron Ginz didn't like your brother. And probably they were all getting, you know, in a good mood by the Purim meal. And they probably said, hey, let's get a good kapara this year so we can have blood for Pesach, for our matzahs. And all of a sudden, probably those Jews looked at your poor brother Kozlik. Oh, a weak person. A person that Aaron Ginz doesn't like. And Aaron Ginz likes money, right? So he says, oh, my friends. He probably spoke low that he couldn't hear. Let's take Kozlik down in the basement. And let's shech them. And we'll get his blood. And we'll use it for this year for the matzahs. And the people probably said, Aaron Ginz, how can you do that? You get in trouble. He said, no, I got a plan. We'll accuse him of stealing the silver. We'll get good and drunk, fall asleep. We'll take all the silver ourselves and hide it. And in the morning, we're going to let everybody in the town know that my silver was stolen. And I even put my watch away. We'll make it look like Kozlik stole everything and he probably ran away. And everybody will think, well, he ran away. He didn't want to get caught. But instead, we'll take him to the basement and we'll shecht him. And we'll hide him. We'll bury him. In the middle of the night somewhere. Oh, outside of the wall of the Yiddish cemetery. Yes, that's perfect. Because the gravediggers are over there and the little house over there. So we'll go and we'll tell the gravediggers to bury him in the middle of the night when nobody sees. And that's the end of Kozlik. All the people of the town of the city of Prague will think that he just ran away and disappeared with the money. And we will have the blood for our matzahs. A perfect kapara. And a perfect story. And all of a sudden, all the goyim, all the workers over there say, oh, that's probably what Aaron Ginz did. That's what he did. And that's why Kozlik is gone. And all of a sudden, Carl and Henry says, our brother Kozlik, we're so worried. And one of the workers said, let's go to the police right away. And can I look, you understand what's going on over here? Carl and Henry made a thing to look like a plan that was against Kozlik, and really they're using Kozlik in a plan against Reb Aaron Ginz. Kinalach, they go to the police, some of the workers, and they tell the police the whole thing that's going on. And the police say, what kind of a story is this? What kind of a proof do you have? Aaron Ginz came to us, police, and said that Kozlik stole the money and the silver and his watch, and it was gone. And now you're coming and telling us a completely different story. Aaron Ginz had a proof because all of his stuff was gone. They said, no, Aaron Ginz probably hid it himself. We have proof because Henry and Carl heard villagers from the next town talking about it. If you go to the next village, you could ask the villagers to tell you the story. In fact, there are people in the next town that saw where the funeral took place. They'll be able to take you over there. And if you find a grave on the outside of the wall of the Jewish cemetery, because they saw where it was, then you know it's true. That's real proof. Because Aaron Ginz is just telling you a story. This is really proving something if you dig over there and you find a grave. Now, Kinalak, by this time, because people in the street had seen the workers go out in the middle of the day, and they're thinking, why are all those workers going in the middle of the day to the police station? So people in the street went over to find out what's going on, and all of a sudden, this story is spreading. And now there are hundreds of people outside of the police station, and they're hearing a story that Aaron Ginz and the Jewish people killed Kozlik, made him a kapara for the blood for Pesach, and they buried him on the outside of the Jewish cemetery in the middle of the night. And people are, of course, unfortunately, some sorts of people are ready to believe such a story that's a very terrible story against Jews. And now there are hundreds of people. Well, Kinalach, the chief of police, first called the Maharal, and he called the Chevra Kadisha from the Jewish cemetery. to ask them questions. Because part of the accusation, part of the thing that was said was, the Jews were using his blood for Pesach, and they said, the Maharal, the rabbi, is the one in charge of baking the matzahs for Pesach, and he's also in charge of the Chevra Kedisha, he's the Rav. And they also said that he's the one that ordered this funeral to be in the middle of the night. He was a part of this whole plot and plan. And the Maharal and the workers came now to the police station, be called by the police, and they see this whole angry crowd, and they're very worried what's going on. And of course, when they're asked questions, they don't know anything about anything. They say, what are you talking about? This is ridiculous. And the chief of police says, I have no choice other than to go to the next town and find these villagers that the Kosklovsky brothers heard talking. And Kenelach, now the chief of police, goes with a few other policemen to the next village, and they start asking in the street, and they start telling them people what's going on, and sure enough, the people of the next village also heard the story, because those people did see, in the middle of the night, the funeral, right? Did it really happen? Yes. And the police found the villagers that were in the wagon, and they said, yes, we saw a few nights ago, in the middle of the night, the Jewish grave diggers were digging a grave, and they put in there some kind of a thing they called a kapara, some dead person. We saw it. It's real. We saw it happen. And the chief of police said, can you take us to the place to show where it was? Okay, we could take you right now. And Kinalach, the chief of police, with the policeman now, with the villagers, with the wagon, now they're all going to the Jewish graveyard. Now by this time, hundreds and hundreds of troublemakers and people that believe the story were all very, very, getting very wild and very angry. And of course, Carl and Henry, deep down inside, were laughing because their plan is working. And they said, look, the policemen are probably going to go and bring the villagers outside a Jewish cemetery. Let's go there also and see what's going to happen. And all the troublemakers now, hundreds of them, with Carl and Henry, with the workers from the factory, are all going now to the Jewish cemetery out there, screaming and yelling. And then, shortly after that now comes the chief of police, with the policemen, with the wagon, with the villagers, and now they're all outside of the Jewish cemetery. And the chief of police says to the villagers, now, just where did you see the grave diggers digging the grave in the middle of the night? And they said, over here, outside of the wall. They made the Jewish grave diggers from the Chevra Kedisha come out with their shovels, and they said, here is where you dug the grave. Now, don't say you didn't, because here's where you dug the grave. And the Jewish people from the Chevra Kedisha said, we never dug a grave here. It's a lie. We never did it. And the villager says, we saw you. We saw you do it. I said, when you saw us? In the middle of the night, you could recognize us? Well, they were speaking the same language like you. They looked pretty much like you. They were Jewish grave diggers. They were speaking the Jewish language. And the chief of police said, this is getting serious. Before we dig the grave, we better bring the Jewish Rav, the Maharal, also out here to be here when we dig. And Kinalach, they bring out the Maharal and the Goyim. Hundreds of them are so angry. And the chief of police says to the men with the shovels, dig now here a hole. They dig a big hole. All of a sudden they see, look! There's white. It looks like some kind of a sheet. All of a sudden they say, look, it's red. It looks like blood. Something is down there. And Kinalach, they uncover some kind of a person, a dead person, in the bottom of the grave, in the hole. And people start screaming, yeah, look, somebody's there. It's real. Somebody was buried here. Well, let's find out who it is. They bring him up. And now they lay the dead person on the ground. And all of a sudden they uncover the face. And all of a sudden Carl and Henry were close by. Let's look. Who is it? It's our brother. It's our brother. Our dear brother. And the other workers in the factory that were close by. Look, it's Kozlik. That's Kozlik who was buried there. And the two brothers start screaming, and everybody starts screaming. And the Yidden that were there. Now, when the Maral came, also other Yidden came out, because they didn't want the Maral to go by himself. They got so afraid. The Goyim wanted to attack them. And all of a sudden, Carl says, look at his throat. It's like we thought it was slit. Now, who slit Kozlik's throat? Carl and Henry. Look, that's what the Jews do to a kapara. They slit the throat to take the blood for the matzahs. That's what they did. The whole thing is a lie, what they said, what Aaron Ginn said about our poor brother Kozlik stealing the money. They killed him, and they invented a lie just to cover it over so they wouldn't get caught. And here we found them, our brother, our poor brother, kapara. And the Goyim said, get the Jews! Kill them right now! Kill all the Jews! Get all the Jews! And all the Goyim start screaming, get all those Jews! Look at them! Get all of them! And can